From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show 700, celebrating 700 shows of Run As Radio, with guest Jeremy Moskowitz. Recorded Monday, June 8th, 2020. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts, LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thank you for listening to Run As Radio, because this is show 700. And I would be remiss if I don't say an extra special thank you to Brandon Wen, who has been my editor for every single episode of Run As since the very beginning in April of 2007. You hear him at the top of the show very briefly, just making an introduction, but he has listened to every single one of them and made them all better, and I am grateful to him. Thanks, Brandon. I am not going to do this alone because I'm just not that funny. So I brought a friend along, Jeremy Moskowitz, who really needs no introduction. This would be your 10th time on Run As.
Since, 10 times? Since, does that mean I get 10 mugs?
Yeah, something like that, because there's 11 different mugs, right? 11 different colors. First one was in November of 2007. So you were in the first year of publication, episode 32.
Oh, I was such a baby.
It's a long time ago, though, man. Holy, 13 years ago was that first show.
That's great.
And here we are.
And nothing's changed. Nothing has changed at all, right? So that's the good news. Everything's exactly the same. Everybody still has desktops that are bolted to the desks.
Well, remember, 2007, that was Windows Vista era. Like, somebody asked me, it's like, what got you to start Run As? I thought, well, Microsoft made a really terrible version of Windows. I should start an IT podcast. What a great idea.
I met a guy who said that he made a lot of money on Microsoft stock by buying when the even versions of Windows came out and selling when the odd versions of Windows came out, something like that. And I was like, oh, isn't that the Star Trek formula?
Yeah. Yeah. Every other movie is terrible. Every other version is terrible. Something like that.
And now I feel bad for the guy. He can't do that anymore in Windows 10 land because it's just a continuous update of Windows 10 that you now have to figure out. I mean, maybe if you really squint, you could find an even and an odd version number, but that's not really how it works anymore. So I guess that guy's retirement does. Retirement is blown.
Got to go with a different model now. Well, yeah. Poor Windows. I mean, it's just interesting to think in terms of the company's not about Windows anymore, you know, and I don't know that the Windows team has gotten that message yet.
Well, that's okay. I mean, look, here's my analogy is that if Windows is like cars on the road, we can still agree that 96.3% of cars on the road are the regular style car we all know.
Yeah.
There's like a fraction of a percentage that are hybrid, and then there's another fraction of percentage that are all electric, and then there's like, you know, one or two guys running on like deep biodiesel and French fry grease. But you know, by and large, Windows is still the thing, man.
Yeah.
And like, we gotta treat it. It's out there, and we need to manage it and maintain it and roll it out.
Operating systems are not going away. They're just not your primary focus. I think the main thing people expect from an OS today is reliability. You get just work and get out of my way because I got stuff to do.
I want my router to be reliable and I want my Windows to be reliable. Yeah. I actually had to go look at my router. I had to kick some DHCP address off my, I had to reset some wacky box in my house. Yeah. My router's been up for 888 days. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm a real man. And that's how I want my Windows to be. I want my Windows to never have to reboot.
Yeah.
I want to feel proud that I've secured my Windows and have to reboot.
I would say that Win 10 reboots rarely enough now that I often look at a machine and go, when did I last reboot that machine?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot better. And that is part of the good news about the work from home kind of style that we now face ourselves in for, you know, who knows when, how long.
Yeah,
the good news is that Windows itself is pretty reliable. Users, that's a different story.
They're a little more challenging, especially in this scramble of just trying to work from home.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people had to like I know lots and lots of stories of people just being told, just take your freaking laptop, walk it out of the building or desktop, and you know, good luck. We hope our VPNs are enough. We hope that our outward-facing web services are enough. We hope our Windows 10 management itself is good enough. And you know, people were not – this is not a scenario people plan for in any meaningful capacity. And you know, like I said, the, on the positive side, Windows itself is reliable. On the negative side, users themselves are not super reliable. You know, they love to change the desktop background to black and the font color to black and then the screen background to black and hit go. And then you can't see anything at all. They love to do that kind of thing. Or, you know, or change or put in a USB stick from their, you know, their kids' homework and you don't know what was on that thing.
Yeah.
Users are the unpredictable factor. You know, they'll click on anything for phishing with regards to emails, phishing emails. And we all have to be attentive to these things because the world does run on Windows still.
Yeah. And I mean, certainly in this series of, around pandemic topics that I've been doing, the conversation come up again and again that it's not like there's more black hats in the world, but all of the black hats are focused on the pandemic because that is that the fear muscle is a great muscle getting people to make bad decisions. And so that's the button they're pushing on. They're getting them. They're, you know, providing phishing emails around COVID and all of those sorts of things and getting successful. Like it's working.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. You know, there's no such thing as a perfect security admin, of course.
Sure.
You can be a better security admin. What does better look like? Better can look like, of course, you know, making sure that your email system is doing everything it can to do the filtering. That's one level. And then man, it's up to what's on the box. It's up to the endpoint management of what's on the box. Yeah. Can that box know when somebody's clicked on something naughty that the original email filter can't trap and know what to do with it? And that's, you know, that's an area of something I spend a lot of quality time in myself. It's also a case where, you know, the bad guys are taking their game to a completely different level. I just read something where they're sending fake voicemails to get you to try to transfer tacos from point A to point B. It's like it's becoming a whole other level of security concerns. But we can only do what we can do, right? I think that's all our companies can ask of us, just doing what we can do, and not more than we can do. It's just do what we can do.
Yeah, for sure. Have I been around the whole time you've been making Policy Pack? Because I think we first talked about it in like 2011.
That's about when we started to kick into high gear. You know, when Policy Pack was first getting going, we were managing the heck out of applications and browsers. Like we did a really good job managing like Firefox, you know, Flash, Java, Office, Internet Explorer, all the bits and bobs around the browsers and applications, and did a pretty good job and got pretty famous there. But now we've really taken our game to the next level and hooking into things that are, you know, the management styles that people are using, hooking into group policy, hooking into MDM, or hooking into, you know, if they've got nothing at all, and managing the inside guts of Windows 10.
Right.
You know, making sure that when you deploy a new application to that user, that they get the right extension at the right time. Everybody knows what a huge pain in the neck it is. You double click on a PDF and it doesn't open the PDF reader of your choice, or you double click on a mail to link and it opens up, you know, that Windows mailer thing instead of your Outlook. That's not a good experience. You want to make sure that users get the exact right experience at the right time. And, you know, we've put a lot of emphasis on that, as well as overcoming local admin rights, which is a huge problem that people, you know, especially now when people are walking out the door with their laptops and their desktops, a lot of administrators I heard through the grapevine did a not such a nice thing, which is that they let people just sort of run with the scissors all the time because they didn't really know how to manage the heck out of them.
Yeah.
I feel bad for those companies.
Yeah, because goodness knows what state those machines are going to be in when they just don't know what trouble they're causing that way.
You know, I've heard of some people giving away local admin rights with, you know, LAPS, which is Microsoft's free, will change the password, local password for you. Hey, Richard, can I have your local admin password on your machine for 5 minutes? Would that be okay? Can I have yours?
What could go wrong, right?
Yeah, what about, yeah. So in the 5 minutes that I've given you full local admin rights, what have I done? I've uninstalled this, I've installed that, I've turned off services this, who knows? Giving a timed amount of time to somebody with local admin rights, that that is the key recipe for disaster, and one that I'm proud to say that, you know, folks who are using PolicyPack don't have to worry about.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. I also feel like the scramble's over, right? I mean, that real scramble started in March for at least, you know, in most of the Western world anyway. And now that here we are in, you know, June, I see IT folks sort of retrenching, like they're, okay, what have we done wrong? Like, what can we clean up? What is working? What isn't working? You know, sort of systems improvements. I'm even seeing some folks like going back to the office. I talked to a friend of mine who's an IT director, and he's like, listen, a lot of us can work from home, but some people are like, they're young and they live with, you know, two other people and they don't have an office. So they're literally on the dining room table and have to take everything down every day for dinner. They want to be back in the office, or they have very little kids, and like just being productive is almost impossible from home.
See, I think a lot of people are like, oh, the horse is out of the barn. Everything's going to change. Direct movies are going to be the new thing. That might be true. I could see where a movie studio wants to go direct to customers and pay $25 to see Scooby-Doo or whatever it is. I can see that. I can also see that some people want to work remote because they, in fact, are more productive and don't have the commute.
Right.
And then there's going to be that third camp of people who are going to be, this whole work from home thing, I'm not cut out for it.
Yeah.
Is like, you know, a thing that I have heard. It's just like, I'm not the right person to get dressed and get ready to work and not have the, like, some people need that. A lot of people need that framework. So it depends on who you are, who your manager is, mm-hmm. what kind of company you have. And, you know, the management of the devices has to go along with the ride of that whole arc.
Yeah.
Either there's going to be some people in the building, some people who are in and out of the building, and some people who are never in the building. It, like, the horse is out of the barn with having to figure that out. But I do feel like there's going to be organizations of all kinds making interesting decisions about how they go going forward. And falling flat on their faces and fixing those decisions later to
right.
see how, you know, to top up their initial assumptions.
Yeah, I do think that the horse is out of the barn in the sense that you've now shown that we can work from home. Whether we want to is a different issue. Whether we're doing it well is something else on top of that.
Well, it's certainly, you know, you got to admit that no matter how you slice it, this is not a optimal way to do it, right? Nobody's, the way I'm saying, nobody's learning cello at this time. No, anybody who said that they just had unlimited amount of time, they would learn cello or French or how to play highlight or something, like, really, like, this ended up not being the time
right.
to be able to do that. Most people, what they were able to do is like, I'm going to binge watch Netflix because that's all our brains can handle. It's yeah. totally, which is reasonable. It's like, you know, if you only have so much percentage of your brain that's in active use, and a large percentage of that is taken up of, like, you know, making sure you're well cared and fed for, and
yeah.
you're caring and feeding others. And there's no way you're going to learn French or cello or highlight. They're just not going to do it.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure that people were using that time to grow. I do think that people are now at the point where they're feeling like, okay, my hair is not on fire anymore. I can get back to some of the projects that I was working on before the pandemic,
right?
And tie in this new horses out of the barn scenario of like, I got to get my, you know, I got to get my computers managed better. I got to get my VPN stronger. I got to get my VDI, whatever your project is with regards to, you know, again, all I think about is management and Windows 10 management.
Sure.
But if you know, whatever your projects were, I think people can, I think I am seeing people calming down and saying like, okay, now that my hair's not on fire anymore, we're ready to restart our projects before the COVID crisis, but with the spin of, you know, making sure that we're going to keep this new, you know, this new work from home stuff in our heads.
But I think the shuffle of priorities is permanent. You know, the big thing that came out of this in the scramble of the beginnings was, okay, that VPN project that was on the back burner that we had a pilot of 10 people. Well, now it's everyone. So, you know,
yeah,
put it to the top of the stack, gear it up.
Satya was ahead of his time, man. Do you remember his the very first phrase Satya Nadella like practically ever uttered when he became head of Microsoft? He said, cloud first, it's a mobile first, cloud first world.
Yeah.
And then people beat him up for saying, how can two things be first? which is, of course, not fair. Nope. You know, he's just putting a point out there. But the idea is that, you know, that's true. If it's if at least some percentage of your people are going to be mobile first, cloud first, and the world has to be focused in that way, yes, your projects need to be focused in a way that enables you to hit your goals such that those mobile-y, people-y are, you know, well handled. And yes, those things, those projects that were maybe second and third in line are now becoming more upfront.
Yeah. Well, I think it's even further down than that. And again, it's plus you deal with what is generally an economic downturn for most folks. And that also makes companies rethink, like, what are our priorities here? Fewer exploratory projects, more, you know, what actually keeps the doors open, the people employed and so forth. Are we doing all those things well? So it's a value shakeup in that sense, that you just like get back to brass tacks. What's the most important things? What do we have to have?
Yeah, indeed. So I agree. I feel like the kinds of administrators that are going to kick butt and take names are going to be the ones that are thinking mostly about security and about management, mm-hmm. and again, working from home threaded through these whole things.
Yeah, core productivity. Like you have to be an enabler of work. I think that's the one that gets missed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this breakthrough at work from home. Over and over again, I see these organizations said no work from home because we said so. Like, it's just company policy. And then suddenly it wasn't viable. And it's like, well, here that goes, that policy out the window.
Well, actually, I think if I got my story straight, I'm pretty sure I do. I think Marissa Mayer, who was head of Yahoo,
right,
is famous for recalling all workers out in the field and saying, if you want your job is secure. Just come back to the office and we'd love to see you there.
Yeah.
With three underlines. and that's what I'm driving at. I think like some companies are going to, like, I think Facebook has announced, or Twitter, one of the two, maybe both, like, we're going to let all of our workers work from home if they so choose, and for safety purposes and also becoming more better purposes, right? And then also some companies, it's not viable. There's just going to be some scenarios where that's just not a thing either.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, schools, that's not, like, I think the data has come out. I read it in the paper this week, which is to say that, like, some huge number of kids just didn't have the correct infrastructure at all, yeah, to support what they needed. And I don't know what, you know,
I think it's a lot. Exactly. It's a lost semester. I've friends who are teachers. I work in schools on a regular basis. In fact, like this week when we're recording this, I'm going to be doing Zoom calls with groups of middle schoolers talking about STEM careers. Like, one of my favorite things. It's a lost semester. There's a handful of kids who thrived, but it's a handful. And there's a bunch that just literally didn't learn anything for the past few months, and they're gonna have to make it up somehow.
It is troublesome. I mean, you know, I don't know if kids didn't have the right computer or iPad, or if they didn't have internet connection, or maybe they didn't have the support of a grown up to help them if the kid is too little to read or write, or some other significant challenge that would impact the student from learning. And not every kid is just cut out for it. I mean, like, there's a wide range of how kids react to being over the computer. Some kids love it, and other kids are middling on it, and other kids are just like, can't do it. And there's a whole myriad of reasons why. Honestly, I don't think I'd be so great at staring at a Zoom meeting for X hours a day with my kid friends there. I think that would actually drive me kind of bonkers.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I got to interrupt for one moment for this very important message. If keeping up with the growing amount of security patches and managing complex Microsoft in-place upgrades are becoming a pain point within your IT department, Barramundi Management Suite is the solution. The Barramundi Management Suite gives you real-time lifecycle management of all network endpoints, from classic Windows and Mac to iOS and Android devices. Barramundi software automates time-consuming tasks, including Windows migration, software installation, inventory, and backup. Whether you manage IT for a small company or a global corporation, Barramundi optimizes endpoint management, frees time for new projects, and reduces IT costs. Check out www.barramundisoftware.com to receive your Run As Radio 25% discount and info for a 30-day trial. And we're back. It's show 700. This is Run As Radio. I'm Richard Campbell. There's my friend Jeremy Moskowitz. And I guess we're having a chat about the pandemic, which is still ongoing. It's hard to celebrate.
Let's talk about you. Let's talk about celebrating 700. If we can celebrate, you're allowed. You are allowed to be. You are important too, Richard.
Thank you. You're very kind.
700. I can't imagine 700 of anything.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is a lot. I don't think I know the impetus for the genesis of the program in the first place. Maybe you could tell us and educate all of us.
That's sweet. I got involved with Carl Franklin and Donette Rocks back in 2004 as a guest, became the co-host in 2005. And as someone who's back then, I was mostly a writer and a speaker. So podcasting was new, but I took to it, enjoyed it. And storytelling is my favorite thing in the world and certainly never run out of ideas. Like there's an infinite supply of things out there. And it was apparent to me as I explored the podcasting world in 2005, which was 2005 is when the RSS2 specification, Dave Weiner came up with it, that made podcasting podcast.
That's when the Stegosaurus was around, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's pretty primitive. Yeah. And there was not a lot of podcasts, and there was certainly even fewer IT shows. And the few IT shows that existed were like openly hostile to Microsoft, which now listen, it's, 2005, 2006. Those are not shiniest times for Microsoft either.
Easy time.
Yeah. They had been the Borg, right? They were still rehabilitating. The consent decree was 2001. Like all of those things were going on. But I found it kind of ridiculous because, like, there's no IT shop I ever see or talk to that doesn't have some Microsoft technology into it. Like, you just can't be hostile all the time. So I had in the back of my mind that there needed to be an IT show at some point, and I had to figure out what that would even look like. And the name is the hardest thing. Like, naming shows is not simple.
Well, anytime I think of Run As Radio, I think right-click Run As.
Yes. Well, that was the joke when we eventually got there, right? I mean, it was Carl and I brainstorming for days over ideas. And in the end, we'd had another remote brainstorming session because he's on the East Coast, I'm on the West Coast. It's spent an hour, got nowhere, hung up the phone frustrated. And then he called back like 30 seconds later. I bit the phone like, did we forget something? And it literally, as I picked up, he just said, Run As Radio. I'm like, okay, well, but clearly that's the name. Like it's so obvious when it's found. But yeah, the fact that it didn't exist annoyed me. And often when things annoy me like that, you just have to make it.
Well, that's how inventors and creators work. That's my exact story too. Like, yeah. Which is to say, like, I love the idea when people say, well, what was the genesis of Policy Pack? It's basically like, well, I was at a tech ed conference and somebody raised their hand and asked me a question like, hey, Jeremy, why is it that group policy does such a great job with the stuff in the box, but does a terrible job with like all these ancillary things? Like,
yeah, everything out of the box.
Everything out of the box. I was like, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm the only person on the planet that could build it. It must be done.
Well, you were the GP Answers guy, right? Back in the day.
Yeah. Exactly. And we've renamed since to MDM and GP Answers to show our support and love for both on-prem and always on the go machines. But yeah, GP Answers still going strong. I still post and have dozens of thousands of subscribers. Is that a thing? Can you say that? Dozens of thousands? I don't know.
Dozens of thousands, yes. But yeah, it's like, you've been making that thing for 15 years. Like, it's funny when it gets that old, when it's that part of your life. You've always been there. Like where do you come up with a new show idea? It's like, dude, you want to see my list? Like, I can't get near my list of topics to explore. Like, it's endless.
Yeah, it's like a programming backlog.
Yeah. I scratch stuff off because it gets solved by new products. Okay, so we're not going to explore that after all. We're going to go over here instead, right? That's because you can't make them all. There's so many.
Who's the most – you ever have like an outside baseball, like celebrity-style person? You ever have like an unusual
– what, like Rusinovich or Snover? I mean, that's pretty inside basketball.
No way. Well, I mean, yeah, he'd be considered stratosphere famous. So, but like – maybe even somebody not specifically in the Microsoft world. I don't know. I'm just seeing like who an unusual guest might be.
Yeah, not so much on RunAs. I definitely reached into other spaces in, you know, sort of networking and things like that to sort of explore the large community. When Hyper-V was nowhere, but virtualization was important, I did a lot of VMware shows and I got flack for it too. It's like, you should be using Hyper-V. And it's like, have you listened to the show? Because in the show we talk about, this is how VMware, like vSphere was so far ahead of where Hyper-V was in the late aughts. Like you'd be crazy if you wanted to do those things with Hyper-V. It just wasn't there yet. And so, you know, we had to talk about VMware. That's what was important.
Well, I think it's a different Microsoft now than it was back in those days by a long shot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I think as of very recently, as we're recording this now, there was sort of the Microsoft apology tour with regards to open source software. We got it wrong. I mean, that's literally the name. I'm not beating anybody up. That's literally the name of the freaking blog entry. Yeah, yeah. We got it wrong about open source software. We're sorry. So like, that's interesting. When was, you know, back, if this was 2001, you ever think you would have heard that?
No, not at all.
No. So that's new. The idea where there's, you know, at Build and Ignite and so on, there are these pretty open betas that like the PMs will get on stage and be like, here's my pet project. I think it's nifty. Join a board and tell me where it's crunch. That's amazing. That kind of level of access to be able to dip your toes into the things that are interesting for you. So by way of example, I just wrote and did a video on MSIX App Attach, which is nifty as heck. I think this is nifty. So I asked, can I sign a board? And I got all the things that I needed. And then I played with it for a while. And now that it actually is finally, you know, more or less out in the world, I created a, you know, MSIX App Attach walkthrough for the every person, video guide. And that's the kind of stuff that I love, which is new now and really kind of wasn't, back in the day. So then, you know, people change for the better. Microsoft can change for the better too. Yeah. And I think like that's important, for us to keep in mind.
Yeah, certainly been on that ride. But I do feel like, and maybe you're pressing against something here, Jeremy, too, that I've stuck pretty close to the knitting on RunAs. Because doing the other show, like .NET Rocks went all over the map. It still has, right? In the sense that it was really for .NET developers, and there was such a diversity of mindsets there. We kind of explored everything. The whole Geek Out series talking about alternative energy and stuff lives over there. But that's also at a time when we were making 3 .NET Rocks a week. So the idea that I would take one in a month and go off the reservation just wasn't a big deal. Where I feel like when I'm making one run as a week, I got to kind of stick to the knitting.
Well, even if that's the case, the fact that you have 700 episodes and, well, 699, technically this is 700.
Yes.
I'm just saying. That's kind of amazing that you can find 700 topics, you know, X number of times a week to get up there, find interesting guests. I've been a subscriber for a really long time. Hmm. And I mean, your subscriber base must be enormitron now, right?
It's tens of thousands.
Yeah, there you go.
But the funny part is, like, I feel like there's many occasions where I looked at Ron as and going, like, a general IT podcast is too much. It's too generalized. Like, you could do a weekly on SharePoint. I don't know that you'd want to, but you could, right?
Somebody would love that.
Yeah. Well, a SharePoint people certainly would.
And that's what I mean.
And there's a power to that focus. There's certainly plenty of podcasts. There are SharePoint podcasts. There are security podcasts. There are data podcasts. But somehow I've managed to live in doing all of those things, right? I still want an exchange show every quarter or so just to sort of dig into, like, hey, how you doing? When are you moving to the cloud?
That's really the only question to ask an exchange person, though. How you doing? When are you moving to cloud?
Moving to cloud, right? Like, that's what makes that funny. Or, you know, you want to talk about a topic that's just always been kind of a train wreck. It's unified communications, right? Like, you know, what's the VoIP solution this week? What version of Skype are you using now? Oh, wait, what's it called next? Like that, such a pain. And the funny part, if you go back through the catalog of RunAs, and I should do more grooming. It's like, I have that story from before Skype being acquired to Skype being acquired to Skype for Business, which, or AKA Link, like, and on and on and on. Just like that, the madness that is trying to figure out how to integrate with people's communication flow.
Well, why don't we share what we've done together recently?
Yeah, that was really fun. Obviously, PolicyPack being a long-term sponsor of Run As, and thank you for that.
Yes, but yes. I that microphone in front of you, 0.1% was bought by PolicyPack Software.
Once in a while. Well, and you write me good ad copy. I'm always happy to. I have to correct the grammar every so often, but I'm happy to make those ads too. But we did it. I went through as a host on one of your workshops. And I got to tell you this, it'd been a while since I'd seen the product in action, and you're so fast with it, it's almost breathtaking.
Yeah.
To remind us that there's all this ability to manipulate group policy and to understand the effects that it has and how you can make the machines for your users work in a reliable way, a way that's going to require less tech support, less frustration for folks, just focus on the things that are important.
Well, and first of all, thank you. Very gracious. I would say that it's less about group policy, although it's still, going to always be my first love. But it is more about, using the tooling you have, if it happens to be group policy or happens to be something like Microsoft Intune or happens to be nothing at all, you want to use PolicyPack Cloud to make sure that you can ensure that, like I said, these users that are on-prem, mixed, or always on the go are going to have the proper configuration and security that they need. We already talked about some of the key items. Not running with the scissors all the time with local admin rights, ensuring that the start screen and taskbar are beautiful and awesome, and file associations, and handling browsers. I mean, these are the key things that when users call the help desk and are like, I'm on the road, I don't know what to do, can you remote control my machine, or I'm going to have to send this thing in a FedEx box back to you.
Right.
You don't want to be in that situation. Yeah. And I think that's what, that's what our time together was.
Yeah, absolutely. And a great conversation. I hope folks get a chance to listen to it. And you've made me a link to make it really easy to get to that.
I did. It's policypack.com/runas.
Nice. So, and I'll include that in the show notes too. So folks want to catch that webinar and see Jeremy and I teasing each other while we explore the various ways we keep our users from taking the machine off the rails.
If you can't get enough Richard, you want a little side order of Jeremy. PolicyPack.com/run.
You were the demo guy, man. You went through the banter without a crowd. But I hope I asked some useful questions along the way, because I was I was blown away by the product. It's really stunning. Like, if you haven't seen it in action, you need to see this.
Keep talking. I'll say nothing.
Oh, man. Thanks so much for coming and do this crazy 700 with me. I'm
honestly, Richard, I'm super proud for you and your accomplishments.
I appreciate
honestly,
that.
700 of anything is just like, it's, if anybody wants to know what success looks like, it means putting one foot in front of the other every day, finding where the problems and crunchy spots are and grinding them down. And you do it, man. You get great guests, you have great content, your sponsors are pretty okay, and long story short, it's a you've got a fantastic product, and it wouldn't be the same without you. I'm honored to be part of your celebration.
Appreciate
thank you.
That. And normally we're only doing one show a week. We only get an odd show every other year. But, at the moment we're doing two a week, as long as I think we need these pandemic shows, we'll keep doing that. And, who knows? We'll have another odd sooner than we think. Jeremy, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate you being a part of this. And thank you, listeners, for sticking with us, for making it possible to keep making shows year after year. I have a great time doing it. I hope that comes across when I kind of let my hair down a little on shows like this. It is a honor and a pleasure, even in these tough times, to be able to make these things and to make a difference for it. And here's to the next 700 episodes. We'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.